Hello, everybody. I'm George from Ireland. So thank you for coming back to my channel. Well, there's something that happened today that I had not anticipated. I didn't think President Biden was going to go to Kiev. What I thought he might do is go to Poland, the border near Ukraine, to look at NATO forces training, meet some Ukrainian refugees, and symbolically walk a few steps into Ukraine, perhaps meet President Zelensky there. What I didn't see is him going all the way to Kiev. So this was obviously a surprise to the world. The Americans had informed the Russians a few hours in advance to deconflict Kiev, so the Russians were not going to fire missiles there. If they kill Biden, they presume they'll be hell to pay. So several other heads of state have visited Ukraine during the war, as some heads of government, and indeed the president of the European Commissioner, Ursula von der Leyen. Two British prime ministers, Johnson and Sunak, have been there. Liz Truss did not go there during a 49-day interregnum. But anyway, this is the first time a US president's been there since 2008. There have been a few presidential visits. I mean, George W. Bush Jr. was there. Obama was there. I'm not sure if anybody else was there. So anyway, President Biden met his Ukrainian analog, and Biden assured the Ukrainians that their support would not waver, and they'll back the Ukrainians as long as it takes. But some people say you're not being explicit. You're saying, too, you've actually expelled every last Russian soldier from all of Ukraine. Or what? Or you may be quite far until there's some sort of compromise or go back to the status quo as of February 2022. But we will see. Because Putin obviously was hoping to take Ukraine by blitzkrieg. That failed. Then he thinks strategic patience. The West has the attention span of a mayfly. They'll eventually get fed up of paying the cost and they get bored and they move on. And public interest is already flagging a little bit. There are some voices in the US saying we shouldn't be giving the Ukrainians so much. Obviously, they're economically straitened times in various countries like the United Kingdom. There's very little money to spare. Ukrainian refugees, it seems to me, are still actually welcome in Western Europe. There's been remarkably little resentment of them. People say, oh, well, colour prejudice and religious prejudice works in their favour, where it doesn't work for Afghans or Sudanese or whoever the other refugees are. Anyway, so the $500 million of military aid were announced by President Biden, mostly shells and howitzers and so on, and additional sanctions. And that's one of the significant things. The sanctions have not been as impactful as people anticipated. Some estimates say that the Russian economy shrunk as little as 2% last year. Others say as high as 10%. Apparently, Russian experts thought it might shrink even 30%, but it was nowhere near as bad as that. The International Monetary Fund is now saying the Russian economy is going to grow this year and next year. And there are others who doubt that. Remember, a forecast is just that. It's a forecast. You know, that there is fallibility to this. There are unforeseeable events. Now, the oil price cap appears to be working, but how much? Should it be even lower? Because the idea is to damage the Russian economy without causing them to stop exporting oil altogether. Even if you don't buy that oil, it'll have an indirect effect because all laws of supply and demand. You know, here is the amount of oil that's sold in the world. A bit of it is Russia. So Russia stops altogether. So the remainder of the price is only going to go up. Anyway, so but Putin might take that drastic step of not doing that. There are various ways to work around these sanctions. His Iranian friends have told them how to circumvent them by having their own tankers sell this oil by forging documents and so on. So President Putin is about to deliver his State of the Union address in Russia tomorrow, and it'll be just before the anniversary of the war. And anyway, so this is going to be talking about that mainly. So Biden suggests the United States is willing to pay any price, and that the West is not united, and actually, you know, free countries' resolve will outlast Russia. And it's not just Western countries. It's obviously countries like South Korea, Japan, whoever else, maybe even Taiwan. Now, Anthony Blinken said the other day, U.S. Secretary of State, they suspect China is about to start providing lethal aid. I mean, Russia considers China an ally, but really China's neutral, has abstained in these United Nations votes, has continued trading normally with Russia. Russia has sold them oil and gas at a cut price, likewise India, but has not provided military equipment up until this point. The Russians are doing badly. If Russia loses, this won't help China. Russia would like to see, an anti-Western country do well, to the West to be chastened, to be cowed. It would embolden the Chinese to take back Taiwan. Conversely, should Russia be vanquished, they think it'll be a defeat for tyrants everywhere. And the Chinese regime doesn't want to see that, does not want to see the United States harden, NATO expand, anything of that nature. Perhaps I don't want Russia to succeed too easily, but this is kind of embarrassing. The European Union says there's going to be a further round of sanctions. Joseph Borrell was saying that in Brussels, particularly to target banks. And it's been surprising, lax in a way. Often, Russians, certainly in the United Kingdom, were not allowed to hire certain services, management consultancy services, public relations services, but they weren't able to hire legal services, which is why Yevgeny Prigozhin, the head of Wagner Group, the mercenaries, was able to hire British solicitors and barristers to take legal action, for defamation, when he said that his reputation was traduced by people telling the truth and reporting correctly. These are the head of the Wagner Group and the Internet Research Agency, which he now brags about, and that he tried to interfere in the US election and so on. He says, yeah, sure, I did, says that on the record. So obviously it was important to his, symbolically, Biden going there. It's a morale booster for the Ukrainians. And it also diverts attention from things not going terribly well for the Biden presidency. He's 10% behind the opinion polls. And I think only two presidents have been this far behind in the opinion polls at this stage and gone on to win re-election. But it's thought that Biden's chance of re-election is fairly high. Remember, the sitting president is something like a 70% chance gets re-elected. Sitting president, the demographics are going his way, the economy is growing, you think be higher, more like 80%. But, Biden's pretty old, fairly unpopular president. If the Republicans pick a good candidate, Ron DeSantis in particular, then Biden's chances are not as high as 80%. And there are other factors to take into consideration, of course. So the Republican Party in the USA hasn't figured out whether to criticize Biden for doing too much to help Ukraine or not doing enough to help Ukraine. I mean, obviously, their voices on either side of that. There's no real John McCain figure in the Republican Party, as was being an ultra hawk saying we must back them to the hilt, we have to give them far, far more. What NATO countries are worried about is really shell production. The Russians are working 24 hours a day to produce more shells, and Western countries are not manufacturing enough. And budgets are strained. People aren't willing to dig into their pocket and pay more. I mean, the Germans are doubling the defense budget. The French have increased their 40%. Most countries have increased their defense budgets, but not by that much. And say, we've depleted our stock so much to help the Ukrainians, we've only got enough ammunition for a few days of fighting. But who would you fight the conventional war against? I suppose it'd be Russia, Iran, North Korea, China. But anyway, if you could defeat Russia, that would go a long way towards enfeebling the others. That's it for a moment. Biden, he'd had to give out a false prospectus, false timetable to cover his trip to Ukraine. Well, I'm very glad it went ahead. It showed a little bit of courage from him. Right, so it's important also to keep it in the news so that the public attention doesn't wander. Right, thank you for watching. Please subscribe to me on Patreon and donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.